Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of the Trellos Tips podcast. My name is Nick Homelohn, and today we're going to be talking about things I wish I knew before I purchased my first property. Now, there's a couple of different parts to this section I wanted to go through, but I think it's really important to, when you're making your first purchase, it's such an important financial decision in your life. Like, it's really the first time you're going through the process of purchasing a property. So understanding what I need to do to get this property, where do I purchase? There are so many questions and so much information. I feel like for first home buyers, it can just be absolutely daunting. Like, there's so much information and so many things you need to know before you make this decision, because it is such an important decision in your life, right? So I thought today we'd talk about just a couple of things that I wish I personally knew before I purchased my first property. Obviously, working in finance and working in the mortgage space, I understood the application side and how to get your loan approved and whatever. But when it came to actually finding the property, I found that that was a real pain point for me. I spent a lot of time looking at properties. I actually had my first purchase, I guess you would sort of say, was a property I purchased, or I started to purchase. I made an offer, you know, the offer was accepted, whatever, we signed contracts, cool. I thought, yeah, cool, I understand this process. Then it turned out, once we had organized the valuation, the unit that I was purchasing was actually a bit small. It was 38 or 39 square meters, which, if you didn't know, most banks have a minimum 40 square meter policy where the property itself has to be at least 40 squares. And if it's not, they really don't like it. Now, even me being in the mortgage space, I had no idea about this. At that point in time, yeah, I was working for the bank, but I wasn't actually working in mortgages. But I sort of went through and started the process with purchasing this property and put my deposit down. And then when I went to my lender and said, hey, look, here's the property, we organized the valuation. When that figure came back, he sort of said, Nick, we can't do this. We can't purchase this property. The bank won't accept it. So that was just one scenario where I wish I'd sort of either done more research or just had more information at hand to sort of say, cool, is this property going to be accepted by the bank? Luckily, in that scenario, we did manage to, the miscommunication, I guess, was between the agent and myself, because it had been advertised at 44 meters. So I was sort of thought we were ticked off there. But then once the valuation was completed, it was actually less. And the real estate agent sort of owned up and accepted the responsibility and said, yep, you know, that was my bad. We advertised it incorrectly. Anyway, I got my money back. That's fine. But that was just, yeah, something that I wish I'd known could cause an issue. Some of the other things I wish sort of we'd discussed a bit more, or I sort of had a better understanding of, is stamp duty waivers. Now, when I was trying to find my first property, I was on a sort of entry-level income working at the bank, so my borrowing capacity wasn't really great. Now, with stamp duty waivers, it's a great way to sort of reduce the amount of deposit that you need to get into the market, but then you sort of got to look at it from a perspective of, okay, if I want to buy this property now as an owner-occupier to avoid any mortgage insurance, how much is that actually going to save me? So if we look at a purchase price of, let's say, $650,000, right? And I'm going to assume you're purchasing here in New South Wales, because that's obviously where I am. Stamp duty is based on the state. So purchasing a property in New South Wales for $650,000 is going to cost you about $24,000 in stamp duty. Now, if you are a first home buyer and obviously you haven't purchased property before, that whole shebang, you can have that stamp duty waived. So it's a potential saving of about $24,000. Now, if you were to look at that $24,000 and say, okay, I'm going to save $24,000 if I buy a property here for $650,000. If I was to purchase a property for, say, $750,000, or maybe, you know, purchasing a bigger property in a better area or something like that, you can then sort of sit down and say, is it worthwhile for me to spend a little bit extra, pay the stamp duty, and purchase this property that's going to appreciate quicker than the other property would, that's going to generate me a better rental return than the other property would? And if it is an investment property, right, because obviously we'd be looking at an investment option if we're not too concerned about the stamp duty waiver. Am I going to get a good negative gearing benefit from this property? So that's something I think is important for first home buyers when they're deciding where am I going to buy, what am I going to buy. Should I be looking at that 650 cap, and should I be stuck within that same market of other first home buyers who are all going to be sort of trying to get into that property at that same price because they don't want to pay any stamp duty? At the moment, I believe in New South Wales, we're looking as high as 800,000 nowadays. So 800,000 and above will start to incur some stamp duty costs. But like I said, if we want to stick to the stamp duty waiver, we're going to be in a very competitive pool of first home buyers. The first home buyer market at the moment is very strong. There are a lot of people out there who are, you know, lucky enough to utilize the bank of mum and dad, I guess. So that price range has a high level of competition. So yeah, that's something I think you'd want to look at and see, is it worth pushing the budget a little bit more to get out of that competitive space of 800,000. Another thing I sort of think is very important as well, or something I wish I knew before, is the difference of purchasing between an owner-occupied and investment property. Now, obviously, owner-occupied will waive that stamp duty for us, like we said, but the banks themselves will look at an investment property in a much more positive way, I guess you could say. So when you're looking at purchasing as an investment property, you're looking at utilizing the rental income that property is potentially going to generate. Now, if you've got the luxury of, say, living at home or potentially living or boarding and, you know, paying a much lower rent, this could potentially impact your borrowing capacity. It could allow you to potentially borrow more money, which would allow you to then purchase a property that, you know, may be more suitable for growth, or it may be more suitable for a higher rental return. So I think considering or comparing your options between purchasing as an investment or purchasing as owner-occupied to take advantage of that stamp duty is something that should be really considered, instead of just trying to, yeah, save as much as you can or avoid paying stamp duty. Like, I know we hate to pay tax and we hate to pay stamp duty and pay all these fees to the government, but at the end of the day, if it doesn't make that right decision for you financially, that's something that you should be, you know, really considering. And that's something here at Trellos that we sort of compare both options for you. We look at both scenarios, both types of securities, and work out which one's going to be better for you in the long term. Another thing I wish I knew is I wish I wasn't as emotionally involved with the purchase I made initially. I had been sort of shopping around for, I'd say, maybe at least 6 months, you know, rolling over my pre-approval and going to open for inspections on the weekend and during the week and, you know, having contracts reviewed and strata reports and building inspections and the whole lot. And I think by the end of it, I just sort of started getting frustrated, is one way to say it. And I just sort of wanted it to be done. Instead, I wish I had sort of taken the emotion out of it, taken the time to do the research, and potentially it would have been a better outcome for me. And I guess the last thing I wish I knew before I did purchase that property is I wish I had involved a buyer's agent. A lot of my clients are, I wouldn't say against the buyer's agent, but they're more looking at what value is this buyer's agent going to bring to me. And I've become a big advocate for buyer's agents in the last 5 to 6 years. The importance or the value, I guess, that a buyer's agent brings to the deal when it comes to purchasing a property or even trying to find a property to purchase, right? They're able to use thousands of data points. I've seen one. I had a buyer's agent I was working closely with who showed me the thousands of touch points and checkpoints and data points that they sort of utilize to make these decisions or make these to conduct this research for you, right, on your behalf. Now, if you're somebody who's time poor and if you're somebody who is sick and tired of going to open for inspections and looking at realestate.com and getting all those notifications all the time, right? A buyer's agent can take that away from you and do that work for you. They can obviously then narrow down what you're looking for, whether you're looking for a house with a pool or whether you're looking for a house in a certain section of a suburb, because we all know, you know, there's nicer sections of each suburb. So they can actually go out, and I know one of the buyer's agents I was working with was able to source. He personally went out to a set of streets within a suburb and was personally letterbox dropping, trying to see if any of these people were willing to sell. And he managed to find two people, funnily enough, in a street of, say, 20 houses, I think it was. Two people were interested in potentially selling. So for that, it meant the buyer or the client was able to purchase a property that he wanted in a street that he wanted, with the specification of being a certain size with a certain size frontage and that sort of stuff. Didn't involve a real estate agent, so it meant less. They were able to negotiate more on the price because the vendor or the person selling didn't have to have open for inspections, didn't have to run a marketing campaign, didn't have to have a real estate intervene who would obviously charge a commission for their work, right? So for the buyer, for the owner, it was amazing. Like, you know, they were able to get the deal done really quickly. And obviously for the buyer, he was able to then purchase the property that he was looking for at a quicker time. So I think you really need to consider the cost or the fee that the buyer's agent is going to charge, and then weigh that up and say, well, cool, how much time are they going to take out of my day? How much time are they going to put back into my day? How much value are they going to add to this transaction? And for me, I think it's really invaluable, the sort of value that they give to you as the buyer. So those are just a couple of things I wish I had known beforehand. And they're sort of things that here at Trellos we've incorporated into our business model, into our sort of conversation with our clients, is to consider these options. And we sort of bring it on a more visual approach. We sort of hand that information to the client to then make a more educated decision, which in turn rolls into, you know, faster turnarounds for clients to purchase these properties. So yeah, I guess, look, if you want to have access to this information as well, a lot of it is on our website. So trellosfinance.com.au. Head on over there, go into our blog section. There's numerous articles we've got around, yeah, making the right decision and looking at buyer's agents and looking at the stamp duty waivers in particular. So yeah, I guess that's where we'll leave today's episode off. I'm looking forward to, yeah, getting these out hopefully more frequently in the coming weeks. And at any point, if you'd like to get more information, or if you'd, you know, just even want to just have a chat, head over to our website, book in a time, and we can, yeah, discuss these options with you in more detail. See you guys.